How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network Series Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. It is Memorial Day weekend, but we are here live. We'll be taking your phone calls in about 20 minutes, as usual. Do not call now. You will get nothing for 20 minutes if you call right now. So chill out until after the second break. We'll take all of your phone calls. You can send your emails to Brian at WrestlingObserver.com. Twitter handle is at Brian Alvarez. You can follow me on Twitter and communicate with me there. Our usual hashtag is F4WLive, but you can just direct your comments to at Brian Alvarez. That will work as well. Of course, we've got Mike Sempervivi here on the line, as always. A lot of news to talk about. It is Memorial Day weekend, and traditionally on Memorial Day weekend, UFC runs a mega event in Las Vegas, Nevada. And in fact, they ran an event last night. I don't know if I'd call it a mega event. There were actually a number of different potential big matches scheduled for that show, and all of them fell apart. And so, at the end of the day, the main event of the show ended up being Henan Barrow versus TJ Dillashaw. Now, if you want to know a pay-per-view that is not going to do a huge number of buys, Henan Barrow defending the 135-pound title against TJ Dillashaw, that's one of those pay-per-views. However, for those of you that bought the show, you saw maybe the biggest upset in the history of UFC as it regards title fights. Now, I know that some people will say, well, you know, that Matt Serra, George St. Pierre fight, you could say that. But that was a situation where Matt Serra, I don't want to say he got a lucky punch in, but he punched him and knocked him out in a big surprise. This was 5 rounds of TJ Dillashaw beating the hell out of Henan Barrow and then finishing him in the 5th round. We're going to talk about that, plus all of the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. We got a ton of it. And don't forget taking your phone calls as well. Should be a fun show. Back in just a moment, you're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We got a lot of stuff to talk about here today. And Mike, I presume that you watched UFC 173 last night.
I did indeed.
Now, I gotta start with this. I always gotta start with whatever's just kind of bugging me at the moment. Am I the only guy? I know I'm not, but I'm just gonna ask it anyway. Am I the only guy that thought that the Takeya Mizugaki versus Francisco Rivera fight was just hideously boring?
Compared to everything else on there, yeah, I guess you could say that. I didn't think it was all-time classic boring or terrible or anything like that, but no, it wasn't the most fun thing in the world. Yeah, that's true, I guess.
I had a guy who accused me of not knowing anything about fighting because I thought that that fight was boring.
Now, wait, you trained in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, correct?
I'm not the guy who, in the first minute of the fight, knocked the other guy down and hurt him really bad and then went down into the guy's guard for 4 minutes and allowed him time to recover. That wasn't me.
No,
that was Takeya Mizugaki.
Yeah.
Anyway, just going to move on. I need to get that out of the way. I watched with 3 people who thought this fight was boring. Joe Rogan thought this fight was boring. I thought this fight was boring. Doesn't mean I know nothing about fighting. I already got my dander up here today. We've just started. Let's talk about this main event. I didn't pick TJ Dillashaw. I don't know if you did. I don't know many people that did. But he came in and destroyed Henan Barrow. He ended a win streak that had begun in 2005.
32?
Yeah, the longest win streak currently in UFC, which I guess now... I guess good old Matt Brown's moved up to, is it second place that he's in right now as far as his win streak?
Maybe I'd have to double check that. I think Mizugaki now, ironically enough, has the longest win streak in that division.
Oh, dear God. Longest. Anyway, let's talk about this fight. Were you, what did you think as rounds 2 and 3 were ongoing and it looked like Henan Barrow was in deep trouble?
To be honest, at that point, you know, there's some fighters you watch and you're waiting for the comeback or something like that. In this case, I wasn't expecting that. Dillashaw, I was just blown away. I really was blown away with, I mean, Brow is like third or fourth. I mean, he's in the top five, unarguably, as far as pound for pound fighters coming into this fight. I mean, you know, clearly the 32 fight winning streak, the domination, the whole nine yards, and he didn't look like Henan Barao, but TJ Dillashaw, it didn't really matter. TJ Dillashaw just absolutely cleaned his clock for four rounds. Now, I thought it was going to go to a decision, and I thought, you know, obviously Dillashaw is going to clearly win a decision. I didn't expect him to stop him at all, but it was a nice exclamation point on the night for TJ Dillashaw.
Maybe I can ask people on Twitter what they thought of that fight. What do you think about that?
No, you might as well throw that out there, see what they thought. I don't know how anybody can say it wasn't pretty amazing, considering where both guys were coming into this fight.
And I threaten everybody too. I'll say if you thought the fight was boring, tweet me. And if you thought the fight was exciting, don't tweet me or I will block you.
Oh, the Mizugaki fight again.
Yeah, I'm still the Mizugaki
fight.
Although, in a way,
this was kind of a boring fight too.
I thought this fight was great,
boring, but it was certainly one sided.
I want a fight with a story that is not just two guys aren't doing anything. I thought that you know, everybody went into this fight thinking that Dillashaw had, I don't want to say they thought he had no chance, but if you look to the odds, I mean, this dude didn't have much of a chance, and he went in there, he nearly finished Barao in the first round, which was the first amazing thing, and I thought it was a 10-8 round. I don't know how many people thought so, but when you nearly finish a guy and he is struggling to survive, that's a 10-8 round to me. The guy shouldn't get more than 8 points when a guy destroys him that bad. So then he comes out in round 2, 3, and 4, and Barao just had nothing for this guy. Dillashaw looked great, moved great. I mean, he had a great game plan. And then it came down to that fifth round, and it was very clear that the only way Barao was going to win this fight was if he got a finish, if he got a submission, if he knocked the guy out, he could win the fight. But other than that, there was no chance. I mean, this wasn't even something where you thought there was even a possibility that the judges could go the other way. He had no chance unless he finished this fight. And Dillashaw, you know, from about round 4 on, I mean, Dillashaw didn't have to do anything if he didn't want to. He could have sat back and you know, done cartwheels around the ring. I mean, there was very little chance of anything bad happening to him based on the first 3 rounds. But instead, he went to that fifth round, and he decided he was going to finish Henan Barao, which in fact he did. He finally landed the big shot, finished him on the ground. The streak of Team Alpha Male winning every single fight except championship matches has now ended as well. They actually won a title. And all I was hoping was that at the end of the day, Uriah Faber was going to go in there and turn heel on TJ Dillashaw and challenge him for that championship.
Without hitting him with iron fingers like Iizuka did in New Japan yesterday.
No, just a verb. You know what I was thinking though is like Uriah Faber is a really, really nice guy, and he went in there and he hugged TJ Dillashaw and he said how happy he was for him and everything like that. But you just know there's gotta be that part of Faber that's like, man, I know I could have beat this guy. I know I could have beat Barao. You know what I mean? Like, he faced him and he lost, but it wasn't like he was, you know, he'd broken his hand, if I recall correctly, and he still had a competitive fight the whole time. And this Henan Barao, I mean, many people have mentioned that this guy, this was not the Henan Barao of old. This was not, I don't know if there was a problem.
Something just didn't seem quite right.
Yeah, so you know that it had to be very bittersweet for Faber going in there and congratulating his teammate and at the same time just thinking, man, if it would have been me tonight, I'd have been the UFC champion.
That may be the case, but it's not like he's gotten those, hasn't gotten those opportunities.
He's had many.
Exactly. And even though he has been in every, you know, in most of those fights, and, you know, he does what he has to do by defeating the guys he has to beat to get those title fights, and he comes up short in the title fights. You know, that's all great, but he's had his opportunities, and, you know, it may drive him nuts a little bit. I don't see him using Paige VanZant in camp as bait, and, you know, he turns around and, you know, she crotches him low or something like that, and then you get that sort of thing. I don't think that would happen, although it would be very fun. I think Faber is technically, what, he's still one of the top contenders for that title.
I hope Paige...
Obviously, probably will not happen. I don't know if they will face off against each other. I know Faber faced Jorgensen and things like that, where Faber's faced guys he's had an affinity for. So I don't know if they would do that in a title fight or not, but it would be interesting.
You know, you mentioned Paige VanZant. For those of you that haven't seen her, you should Google her. Paige VanZant. And she was
tweeting out pictures of her attire last night for her UFC attire.
Oh, really? I was unaware of that. But I was told from somebody who was there, I guess they showed a shot of her on the big screen at some point. I didn't see it. But she can be a megastar. So I hope that she can fight. I don't know. It's tough with mixed martial arts because you can have someone with a very marketable look, but they can't fight at all, and so it means nothing. Whereas in pro wrestling, if somebody has a great look and they can't do anything, I mean, you could still make a star out of them because it's fake. But in mixed martial arts, you've actually got to be able to fight. And she's one of those. She's a girl that if this girl can fight, I mean, we're talking about a big draw. But if she can't fight, there's nothing really that you can do. But Google her, everybody. UFC strawweight just signed. Lovely young lass.
Too.
That's right. But she is training down there with Team Alpha Male, so she's at least in a very good camp for someone her size, which I guess all girls are her size at fighting UFC, but for the most part. Now the I guess my other question, since I brought it up earlier, is this upset as compared to Matt Serra and George St. Pierre, which was the bigger UFC championship match upset in your opinion?
I think this one, just because Matt Serra was a veteran and GSP, even though he was a supernova at the time, it wasn't the GSP he would be at the end where he was so incredibly dominant. I mean, he was great, but I think this actually had more impact because nobody saw that one coming too, but the role Barao's been on and considering where Dillashaw was, I mean, I know, look, lucky upset with Serra, but that was one punch. This was domination of a guy who has been dominant for
years. All right, hold that thought
years.
For 1 second, Mike. We'll be right back. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Show Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here is Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline at USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. If you have the Sirius Satellite Radio app, we are available on the Sirius Sports Byline, what is it, Sports Zone. Sports Zone on the Sirius XM app. If you want to check that out on Sundays, tune in radio as well. If you search Sports Byline, we're all over the place. Most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. We're going to be taking phone calls from this point forward, 855-478-4478. If you want to give us a call, that is 855-478-4478. What do you want to talk about? We've been discussing UFC, which we will continue to do, plus WWE, TNA, all of the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts for the next 2 hours. So let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian, this is Chris in Las Vegas.
Oh, Chris, what's happening?
I heard Mike called me out on the Brian and Vinny show, but I was unavailable at that time.
He did.
So here I am.
Well, what's on your mind?
Actually, I didn't really watch Raw. I didn't watch SmackDown or anything this week, so I don't have too much on my mind. I thought maybe Mike had question for me or something.
I got a question for you. All of that passion last week and you didn't even watch any of the programming this week?
Have they broken you? Is that what they're saying? They've broken you, Chris?
It was more like I have report cards to do and so I'm finishing up my school year. But I did have a random question for
you.
Wait a second.
You have report cards to do? What grade do you teach?
I teach second grade.
Second grade. Okay, I got a bunch of questions for you. It's time for me to interview you.
Okay.
How many of your students over the past year have you seen wearing a professional wrestling t-shirt of any sort?
I have 20 kids in my class, and I'd say there's about 5 of them who watch pro wrestling.
Really? The 5?
Yes.
And their favorite wrestlers, let me guess, Rey Mysterio, John Cena, and Kofi Kingston.
John Cena, Zack Ryder, and probably Rey Mysterio, yeah.
Zack Ryder? I guess.
Yeah. I had a student. Well, that was sort of the beginning of the year, though. I had one that was like, woo, 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 you know it. And I was like, well, Zack Ryder fan. Okay.
And are they aware of your love of pro wrestling? Do you guys ever talk about Raw?
They know that I watch it, but no, they don't ever talk to me about it.
Yeah. Do they watch Raw, or are they watching SmackDown? What's their favorite television show?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Do they ever?
I just know because they did go. There was a house show in Vegas, and I know about two of my students went.
How about that? Do they ever talk about the WWE Network?
No.
No. All right, that's all I got. Mike, go ahead.
Oh, let's see. But shows you how far Kofi Kingston has fallen. If he's fallen behind Zack Ryder, who's been completely stagnant in the minds and the hearts of the children of America.
I know your son is a big Kofi fan, and Craig's son loves Kofi. So I was surprised to hear that Kofi is not high on the list in class.
Oh, one of my girls does like Kofi. She thinks he's a good high flyer.
See, there you go. I knew it. Now, Mike's question to you is Raw broken you? Are you going to watch tomorrow? Is it just the report cards or what's
because
going on?
This is going to be the go home show.
I was very angry about. I was starting to talk about Daniel Bryan, but I was very angry about how they handled Bryan again, and so then I didn't really have that much interest to watch. I think I maybe watched about 15 minutes, and then I had other things to do. But tomorrow, either it's Memorial Day, I have no work, so I will tune in tomorrow.
And Bryan is supposed to show up and voluntarily forfeit the title. Do you expect this to happen?
I do not expect that to happen. If they do, I will go on another hiatus like I did when they started to turn Daniel Bryan heel when he joined the Wyatt family.
And then you'll call us next Sunday and just blow your top.
Yeah, I have no problem cutting promos on your show if you don't mind.
I don't mind.
Okay.
I can imagine what the promo would be then if they do some sort of thing where it was like Shane Douglas and the Pitbull with the broken neck where he grabbed the halo and threw him down.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if they did that and then just picked up the belt and laughed at him?
Oh, yeah.
As Bree tried to act up his head.
Maybe Bree will go in there and plead for him and say, please give Bryan his title back and then I'll have to die.
What was your last question?
You are coming to Vegas, sir, and I should send you an email because I won't be teaching over the summer, and maybe I can get you from the airport and stuff. And show you around Las Vegas because
I've never been there.
I was raised here, so yeah.
Well, listen, we'll be coming in on Thursday, July 3rd, I believe, and then we leave on Sunday. And you should go to this is a free plug for Ed. If you go to Facebook. And you Google F4W Wrestling Observer Vegas Convention. Just put that into the search bar. Just put like F4W Vegas Convention 2014. You can get all of the information about where we're going to be because we're going to be doing a million things there. It's going to be about 85 to 100 crazy people from the website there that are going to be having a big convention. So you should check that out on Facebook.
I will, and I'll send you an email. And one last thing, if you could go on Jeopardy! And put Jim Ross, Mike Tenay, and let's see, like Dave Meltzer, who would win?
Dave.
Hands down.
That was easy. All right, thanks very much for the call. Yeah, Dave would he'd destroy everybody.
I don't know if anybody realizes this, although they should at this point, that these people call Dave when they have questions about things.
That's right. And well, to be fair, if Dave went on Jeopardy, he would not be able to have all of his papers and record books at his feet, to my knowledge. And so that could make things a little more difficult for him. But
imagine him writing out the final answer?
Oh, yeah.
Imagine what that would be.
Especially if it were like a URL.
It's
phone lines are open, everybody. 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. Give us a call. We are taking your comments and questions on pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Mike, what did you think of the semi-main last night? We should talk about poor Dan Henderson, who got absolutely obliterated by Daniel Cormier to the surprise of nobody. Sad day for poor Dan.
It was. It's. I think he weighed in, 199 pounds?
199.
Yeah, the light heavyweight limit is 206 in non-title fights, and he weighed in at 199. His days of fighting at light heavyweight are over, and it's time to go back down to middleweight. If there's not a chance that he retires, which seemingly they wanted him to maybe have done last night, which he absolutely will not do. I mean, look at the fact that at the end of that fight, Cormier choked him out. Dan Anderson's not going to tap, and he went out with the choke. So he's not going to retire probably very easily, or I don't want to say on his own, but nobody's going to push him into this sort of thing. So he's going to continue to fight, and hopefully it's at middleweight. And Daniel Cormier did all the right things, I think, last night, too, continuing to call out John Jones and say that every day that goes by, John Jones, Daniel Cormier just keeps getting better and better, and you should have taken me out when you had the chance, and you should have accepted the fight when you had the chance. But since you didn't, when it finally gets to be him and Cormier, Cormier is going to have something for him. So I think everything pretty much went according to plan that way last night. And again, Cormier said all the right things, and looks like John Jones and Gustafson is going to be coming up here, and Cormier is going to sit back and get the winner.
All right, let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Yes, this is Andrew from Houston, Texas.
Andrew, what's going on?
I was wondering if you knew the latest about Kevin Steen and WWE, what's going on with all of that?
Well, I know that there are people in WWE that think that he's coming in. He has not said anything about it yet. I think that whether he is going to WWE or not, he's probably not long for Ring of Honor. His contract expires in a couple of months. And the impression I was given was that if he has signed his developmental contract with WWE, he probably is not going to say anything about it until his ROH deal has expired. So I would guess you're probably not going to hear any news about that in the next couple months. I think he's going.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Okay.
So that's it.
Brian, can you handle if he does the job for a great real man like Silas Young on the way out the door?
He should do a job for Silas Young on the way out the door.
Kind of like how that came off. I wish the fight, you know, itself would have looked a little bit better in that pull apart in New York, but I don't think this is a bad way to go for Ring of Honor.
I don't think so. I he needs to pass a torch to another real man. That's what he needs to do.
Damn right.
All right, to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian, Mike, it's Paul from Winnipeg.
Paul, what's going on?
Oh, not a lot. Thought I'd call in about, had a couple of scenarios coming off of last night that I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on in regards to Daniel Cormier, because it appears he's not getting the next title shot. One would be fighting Rashad at the end of the year show in a number one contenders fight, or maybe waiting until, you know, if Jones beats Gustafson, having Jones and Cormier in a coaching tough against each other.
You could do that. I know that last night, immediately after the show, on their FS1 post-show recap, I think it was, I can't remember which announcer. It may have been Jay Glazer. It might have been Chael. But Cormier was there, and they were really trying to get Cormier to agree to fight Rashad. And Rashad can't fight right now anyway because he's getting knee surgery, but they were trying to put that fight together, and Cormier wanted none of it at this moment. But we'll talk about this more when we come back from the break. Can you stay on the line, and we'll bring you back after the break?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, hold on, everybody, back in just a moment. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And before the break, we were talking to Paul about Daniel Cormier. And Paul, are you there?
I am. Hey, Brian, before you answer the second question, the last caller you had, you guys were talking about what wrestlers' kids like.
Yeah.
And I just picked up my daughter from cheerleading, and I asked her, you would not believe who her favorite wrestler is.
How old is she?
She's almost 15.
Randy Orton.
No, she's right here. You could ask her.
All right.
Who's your favorite wrestler, Brianna?
Natalia.
And what is the only wrestler's shirt that you own?
The Miz.
No.
Oh.
Come on.
It's the Yes, I Am Awesome shirt.
Paul, if I didn't like you, I'd hang up right now for that.
I know. I just thought that was just too good not to share.
Anyway.
So what do you think of Jones and DC coaching tough?
I think you could probably do it, but I listen, to me, if Jones beats Gustafson, I say that you just announce if he'll do it. I say you just put that fight together for the end of the year show. I just think that it's a fight that Cormier has been building up this fight for a long time, and he's not going to stop talking about it. And if you try and do like an Ultimate Fighter season, it's probably going to have to start, and it's going to have to go 3 months, and I don't know. I just think if you do that, I mean, it'd be a good idea, but Ultimate Fighter isn't what it used to be. I mean, the number of people that watch Ultimate Fighter nowadays, I don't know if it's really going to make that big a difference in interest for the fight. And I just think that it just leaves more time for dudes to get hurt or something to go wrong. You know what I mean? So I just do it.
I'm just worried that he wouldn't be ready by December. You know, if the fight at the end of August runs anything like the last one, I mean, that's like, 4 or 5 months? That might be a little soon.
Yeah.
Maybe Super Bowl weekend?
It could do that. You could do that. Well, listen, Paul, I want to thank you very much for the call. Mike, what are your thoughts on all of this?
Oh, you know, I don't blame the UFC at all for wanting that fight. And I don't think Rashad Evans, even though would be his first fight coming off, you know, I don't think it's the best fight in the world for him. But with that said, a number one contenders fight, if he were to beat DC, if he gets the shot, I'm sure he'd be thrilled about it. But if I'm Daniel Cormier and his people, I just stand back as long as you possibly can and just wait for Jones and Gustafson to happen and then go ahead and get the winner.
All right, to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? You are not on the air. That was weird. For the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. We got daily news updates on that site. If you want to know what's going on in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts every single day, that is the place to go. We also have daily radio shows. If you love this program, if you love Wrestling Observer Live, and the only time you get to hear this show is on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, you are missing out. Two shows a day, on average, are produced on the website. And as a subscriber, not only do you get full access to all of these new live shows, you get on-demand replays within about 5 minutes of the ending of the program. The shows are available for download. You can podcast them. You can create a library. And if you don't want to save anything on your devices, our full on-demand library is available for subscribers. Dating back to 2005, over 5,000 hours of audio. We cover every single pay-per-view, every single television show, Raw, SmackDown, Impact, that sort of deal. Every major news story that's taken place over the past not even five years. My God, it's been 9 years. Every major story over the last 9 years we cover on the radio shows. These are all available for subscribers. Plus, you get Figure Four Weekly. Plus, you get the Wrestling Observer newsletter. Plus, you get our members-only message board. All of this for only $10.99 a month. It is a steal. The archive gets bigger every single day. Two shows a day, 52 weeks a year, 365 days. I mean, that's a lot of shows that go into the archives every single week, month, and year. And there's a lot of shows in there right now. So check it out at WrestlingObserver.com. I've said it many times. If you like this program, you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. So head up there and check that out. Don't miss out on the fun. I got another show coming up tonight with my buddy Craig. We'll be talking Ring of Honor, SmackDown, and Total Divas. So you don't want to miss that show tonight up on the website only for subscribers. Back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian. This is Shane from Orange County.
What's going on, Shane?
Hey, nothing much. Hey, I just thought I'd tell you guys about the last PWG show from Friday. It was another amazing card.
I hear we've got a new champion.
You definitely do have a new champion, Kyle O'Reilly.
Kyle O'Reilly.
Really, really good match as well.
I heard it was great.
It was really good. Definitely, if you're going to check out the DVD, the ACH and Ricochet match was one of the best matches I've ever seen in person.
Was it you that tweeted me about that match?
Maybe.
Okay, yeah, so somebody tweeted me and said something like it was like a 5 billion star match or something like that.
I said it was the match of the multiverse theory.
That's right.
After Dark Radio. So
yes.
Ricochet's had a lot of those this year.
He's very good.
Yeah, this one was just absolutely insane. I mean, we got crowd surfing, all the crazy dives and flips, all kinds of crazy suplexes I've never even seen before. Really, really good.
That's right. King Ricochet and Go ACH just killed it at PWG. I'll edit that. match of the multiverse theory. How about that? You know what I love about
You know what I love about
PWG is it's out here on the West Coast where, honest to God, there's really not a lot of wrestling. There is some, but it's certainly not like the Midwest or the East Coast. And if you follow indie wrestling kind of to a little bit of a degree, like you're not a hardcore fan, but you're aware of Dragon Gate and Ring of Honor, you hear all of these names, and these guys are exclusive to their promotion. The Ring of Honor guys work for Ring of Honor, Dragon Gate and Evolve guys work for Dragon Gate and Evolve, and because both companies run iPay-per-views, they don't work for each other's promotions. But you go down to PWG, and you've got Dragon Gate guys, Ring of Honor guys, Evolve guys. You've got all of these different guys all working the same. It is like a different multiverse, quite frankly.
Yeah, it's honestly, I mean, it's just dream match after dream match after dream match. I know it's a cliche, but it's absolutely incredible. And the Kevin Steen Young Bucks versus Trevor Lee, Gargano, and Cedric Alexander was another one that was just absolutely insane.
And again, all of these guys from different promotions working each other in these matches.
Yeah, that was really cool. Well, thank you guys very much. Always a pleasure talking to you guys.
All right, thanks.
I gotta go catch up on After Dark and everything else.
All right, thanks so much for the call. And I didn't do an After Dark this week, but he can catch up on a replay. We'll be back next week. All right, to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, Sammy from New Jersey.
Sammy, what's going on?
Brian, I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Oh, yeah?
Well, my girlfriend's in this. Todd Martin is correct.
About what?
When he said that WWE needs to focus on the product, he's right. And
who's argued otherwise? What are you talking about, Sammy? They need to focus on the. Of course, they need to focus on the product. That's all they've got is the product.
But they don't. I mean, if you think about Vince McMahon, you know, this wrestling genius. All he wants to think about is anything but wrestling. He even finds the word wrestling taboo, and that is what makes him money in his history. The WBF, the XFL, the restaurant, the hotel, everything he's trying to do, and now the network. I mean, it is what it is with the network. It is their future, and they have to make it succeed. But if you think back to what you've said about the way that you formulated your estimate of 750,000 is based on the number of viewers of Raw, well, they're so focused on everything but let's make wrestling exciting for the masses and the hardcores.
Yeah, but wait, hold on one sec, Sammy. Let me throw something in here. All of these other things like the restaurant and the movies and all of those different things, they the movies maybe had a star. The restaurant was called, you know, the world, WWE or whatever. But at least the network is all wrestling. The network is all about the product. So that's a little bit different, right? Back me up here, Mike.
I would say that's the truth, and I don't think it's any surprise that Vince has been doing this for years. He's never liked wrestling. He's always tried to get away from that. It's sports entertainment, and I understand what Sammy's saying as far as dealing with the in-ring, but that's not just him. There's a lot of other people involved in that too. And yes, the buck does stop with him, but a lot of what they've done inside the ring and with their stories have not been very good. And that's something that, look, they need to keep their eyes on everything right now. You saw what happened with the washout from the stock last week because of the network and because of the TV deal that they got. So, you know, they have to keep their eyes on everything. But, yeah, do they need to improve what they're doing and having something come across a lot better and a lot more impactful to a lot of fans? Yeah, I believe that they do.
Now, Sammy, my idea for the network is I don't disagree that they need to concentrate on the product. My whole thing is that I look at it the exact same way that I look at, for example, Wrestling Observer Live or any of the free shows that we do. I give away free product so that I can attempt to convince people that if they want more, they can purchase more product. The free product feeds into the paid product. So I do a plug for the website. So to me, it should be the exact same way with the network. Your Raw show should be all about you're giving away the free Raw product. And in doing so, your plan is to try to get people excited enough to buy the pay-per-view on the network. So yes, you've got to concentrate on the product, but the network should be like
you know, you're giving away the free product to get all these people to buy the network, which is going to bring in all of your money. They need to work together. It needs to be a synergistic relationship.
You're absolutely right. I guess my point is that averaging roughly about 4 million viewers a week, and it feels to me that they've just done a lot. Basically, since WrestleMania 17 ended, they've done a lot over 13 years to turn off so many people. And in the situation, the numbers they need for the network, the best way they could try to get those numbers is to try to... I mean, obviously, the goal is always to increase viewers, but I think that Vince needs to accept the fact that he's best at the product itself and let other people do everything else and make that number one priority. To try to increase Raw to, say, 5 million viewers to where the expectation on the same averages still goes up.
Well, that's pretty much it. I want to thank you very much for the call. I got to say that I don't think that they need to concern themselves so much about, you know, do we have 4 million people watching Raw or do we have 5 million? Yes, it would be great to have 5 million viewers. You have a bigger pool to draw from. But to me, it should be more about, listen, you idiots, you've already got 4 million viewers. So how about you find a way to get more of the 4 million viewers that you already have to buy your network? The network should be like the best of all worlds. Like if we're talking about fans that have lapsed, fans that used to be WWE fans, but they no longer watch the product. Guess what? It doesn't matter if you watch the product. You can go on the network and you can get all of that stuff that you loved watching on demand anytime you want to watch it. Great for a lapsed fan. If you're an older fan and you're like, man, I remember when I was a kid, all that world-class chant. Yeah, guess what? You can go up and watch the world-class on the network. But guess what? If you're a current fan and you don't even know who Kerry Von Erich is, it also doesn't matter. The network is great for you because if you watch Raw and you bought a Miz shirt, God knows why, and Miz is working the next pay-per-view, you spend your $9 and you buy the network. The network is great for everybody. But I feel that you've got to use Raw to build that audience. We'll get Mike's thoughts when we come back from the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And Mike, I was ranting crazy, man, about the WWE Network during the break. What are your thoughts on any of this in this brief segment?
Well, I just, you know, that... The network, as an old wrestling fan, the network could use a ton more. The focus of WWE should be on it, no matter what they plan on doing with it, whether it's ad commercials, not ad commercials, keep Mania, not keep Mania, whatever it is they put on here, it is a priority for them because they have put every possible resource and their thought into this thing, and this is what they're going to do going forward. They nailed the cable industry, and then they still made out as far as the TV deal goes, even though their stock dropped. They did make out with a damn good TV deal in comparison to what they had last time around. They've done this in more than one country. The network is still going to be rolling out internationally, so it's something that is going to be that it's attached to their future. It's very important for them, and it's not going anywhere for a long, long time, so it is a focus of WWE's business to make sure that that thing is strong and is going up and at them. When it comes to what they actually air on Raw and SmackDown and everything else, like you said, you know, you need to use that as an infomercial to get people to buy this network that you've invested your entire future in. So don't skimp out on it. And like, believe it or not, Sammy said, you know, people aren't happy with some of the stuff on there. They don't like some of the stories, those sorts of things. You have to be able, you know, on Raw and on SmackDown and these other shows to really get people in, you know, by any means of doing it and really get people embraced and enthralled enough to try to order the network and be involved in what's going on, because there's a lot of disconnect right now for a lot of fans.
All right. We're going to head to our hourly break. When we come back, another hour of Wrestling Observer Live, taking your phone calls and emails. So stand by. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network Series Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. I can see that the phone lines are ringing right now. Please do not call until after the next break. We've got a short segment here, and when we come back from the break, we will take your phone calls, 855-478-4478. You can contact me on Twitter,
at Brian Alvarez. That is the place to go. You can use the hashtag F4WLive if you would like, or just direct tweet me at Brian Alvarez. And Mike, we've only got a moment here, but I did not realize until moments ago that the New Japan I pay-per-view is already over. I'm looking at the results here. And are you aware of what happened on this show, Mike, or are you keeping it in the dark?
I am indeed. I have not seen the first three matches, but I've seen the rest of them now.
You've seen the rest of them. So AJ Styles did in fact retain the title over Kazuchika Okada. Hit him with the Styles Clash to beat him twice in a row. Dave and I were talking about this. Kind of, I don't say they booked themselves into a corner, but they kind of were in a weird position. You really don't want to beat either guy. And they beat Okada. How was the match? I heard it was awesome.
It really was good. The best thing on there by far, and this is not going to shock anybody who's been following New Japan recently, but Tomohiro Ishii and Kota Ibushi was just awesome. Absolutely awesome. But Styles and Okada was great too. And the Yokohama crowd was not the best. They haven't been there since 2003. They didn't get as many people as they wanted to, probably about 7,500 in a 15,000 or 17,000 seat arena. So a little disappointing there, but Styles and Okada really did have a good match. Obviously, they didn't want to beat Okada again. With that said, New Japan is lucky in the fact that they have so much depth, and you can rotate Okada out of there for a little while as long as you keep guys like Naito, who lost the Battle of Fale, but you keep guys like him strong. You do have guys there that can be in the mix, Tanahashi, Nakamura. There's plenty of them, and Nakamura is going to need something to do now that it looks like this whole thing with the Gracies is now finally put to bed.
All right, back in just a moment, your phone calls, emails, and more. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com, here for the next 40 minutes, talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. As we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sport Zone. Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can check us out on the Sirius Satellite Radio app. If you search for the Sports Zone channel, you can check us out on the TuneIn Radio app, one of my favorites. So much great stuff on the TuneIn Radio app, including if you want to hear us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can do that at F4WLive.com. We stream 24/7 up there. You can search F4W Live on TuneIn Radio as well and check us out there. And we do live shows there as well. All the subscription information is up at WrestlingObserver.com. Let's head to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's Dave from Wisconsin.
Dave, what's going on?
Just one thing. Well, two things, really. First, a comment. I know you're going to be a big movie star now, but it'd be really cool if you told us you were going to be available for After Dark.
Did I not tell anybody?
I don't think.
I put in the daily update. I put in the daily update.
You teased that you would probably not be able to do it.
Yeah, I think I may have. You know what? I think I said I might have put it on. I was going to put it on Twitter, and I didn't. So I deeply apologize, everybody.
Okay. Well, anyway, the other question I have is a lot of people have been talking about how Bray Wyatt has been basically cutting face promos, and I'm not going to argue whether they're face or heel. But the thing I've been thinking about is that he is a very popular character, and eventually they're going to want to turn him face, but I'm not really seeing how they could turn him face, being that a cult leader gimmick is not exactly kind of a face behavior. So I was just wondering if you had any idea on how they could get around to do this.
Well, I had an idea a couple of days ago where this wouldn't be like a full-fledged face turn, but he is a cult leader, and so he could do a supposed babyface turn, and you get all the people behind him, and he's being cheered, and he's everybody loves him, and et cetera, et cetera. You can go as long as you want, and then all of a sudden one day he just does something absolutely diabolical, and then he can cut like the Jake Roberts promo about how whatever the promo was about the snake, but you know what I mean. He explains to the people, you never should have trusted me in the first place, or maybe actually, you know, he's cult leader, so he should never do. Everyone else is gonna have to say that for him. He'll have to just you know what I mean. But like, because he's a cult leader character, I mean, if you have an intelligent writing team, which may be part of the problem, I mean, this should be a really easy storyline where he sucks all of the fans in, they drink his Kool-Aid, and then he
badly screws him at some point, and all of the fans have to realize that they should never have followed this guy in the first place. I think it can be done. I just don't know exactly how to do it.
Okay. Well, thanks.
All right. Thanks so much for the call. What do you think, Mike?
Oh, I think you can absolutely do that. You know, you're already getting the cheers partially because of John Cena, too. You know, any backlash towards him. You just have him, you know, if you really wanted to go, you know, more with this as far as him being a, you know, quote unquote good guy. You basically have him continue to act the same. You take a little bit of vitriol out of his voice, and then you have him start facing off against heels and them, you know, going up against heels. And then, you know, whoever it is at the time who would be the biggest person, obviously it would not be John Cena, the biggest person that you could get, you know, who would be the worst person you could screw over? You know, most times you would say Rey Mysterio would be the go-to guy of somebody that everybody loves and adores in the whole nine yards, and they take him out and, you know, brutalize him. You know, as you said, it's not that difficult of a story to tell. I think the bigger question of all of this would be, if they were a bunch of good guys, what characters would they be in Slam City?
God, that's a good question. Bray would be a cult leader.
Can you have that on Slam City?
I don't know. I've never watched the show.
Maybe he'll be a captain of something. Maybe he can be Captain Bray Wyatt.
Captain Bray?
And he could have his men on the boat. That it could be something like that.
About that. I hadn't thought of that.
Like Captain Mike Rotundo when he stopped being captain of the Syracuse wrestling team with the varsity club.
Sure.
And he bought a boat and had Norman the Lunatic with him.
I just think that this character is just begging for this storyline. I mean, how can you have a cult leader character and not do a storyline where he screws the people?
Of course. And it's, again, like you said, it's so simple. With John Cena, there's the benefit of this where if you, again, you wanted to go with this for a while and he's already, you know, he's got the kids with him and the whole nine yards. So to brighten, all you got to do is kind of brighten up the set and things like that. And, you know, he does that for a little bit and then boom, you know, lays the axe down on whoever it would be that would garner the most sympathy and make sure that those guys would be booed vehemently again.
We've got Raw tomorrow, and Daniel Bryan has been, Stephanie has demanded that he come out and relinquish the title. And we talked about this earlier. I don't expect him to relinquish the title, but it does really all depend on how long he's going to be out of action. If he's going to be out of action somewhat soon, then I would think that you absolutely should keep the title on him. If he's going to be out of action past SummerSlam, then you kind of don't really have an option. But I really haven't heard one way or the other. I mean, I presume he's going to. I mean, they said it was successful surgery. I presume he'll be back. I mentioned this a few times. I don't know if fans buy that he really underwent neck surgery. You know what I mean? Because it when he did his interview was all in character. It was all talking about a storyline on the program. I don't know. The fans didn't seem like they bought it when it was going on. I don't know if they buy it now. I guess we'll find out. But it is very interesting to have it's always a fine line to walk because you do want an explanation for why the guy needs neck surgery. And I mean, in theory, you should tie it into a storyline. I mean, they did it with Steve Austin when, like, Rikishi ran him over with a car or whatever that stupid storyline was back in the day. But there's also that part of it where the dude gets beaten up so much, he gets laid out so many times that you've worked yourself into this corner where I think a lot of fans are just like, it's just a storyline. You know, he'll be back wrestling on Raw. I don't know if it matters, but I was just thinking about that when I watched the crowd reaction to his promo.
Well, that's what that would remember on that Raw, too. It's not like they drove it home. You know, they usually will start the show with our champions coming out. He's got a big announcement, and they mentioned it, but they didn't do the graphic. They didn't, like, you know, sell it really hard that he was going to have this, you know, groundbreaking thing, and this is no joke. And I didn't see SmackDown, so I don't know if they did the deal where they you know, because there's a picture on Twitter that WWE has tweeted out with him in the hospital room, but I don't think they've done that little short thing where they would show a guy being rolled in to be operated on by James Andrews, or in this case, you know, Dr. Marone. I don't think they've done that yet. So until they do that, I don't think they've done a good job really driving the point home that this is a legit thing. And I think they should, because, again, now that Daniel Bryan needs more sympathy or more backing than he already gets from the fans, but it's just another reason why, and it's a piece of reality you can put into the story of just, you know, Stephanie saying that, you know, hey, you know, he gives his all, but he gives out giving his all for you people, and he's obviously not an A-plus guy. You know, here's a bit of reality playing into that that he can fight back against and use, even though he is the champion, to keep, you know, facing off and driving back against the machine, letting them know that he is the guy.
I got a question for you, Mike. We can talk about this more after the break, but I was just thinking about this as you talked about SmackDown. How is life as a cord cutter going for you?
Great, because Raw is only 90 minutes.
That is right. Well, I can't get away with that.
That's good.
I can't get away with that because I got to do the Raw report like that night. And I got to, you know, record, I got to watch all of the segments, but I was trying to order UFC last night. I've got Frontier Cable and I order it and I leave. I got to talk about this after the break. I just heard the music and this may be a while, but I'm going to tell everybody why you all need to cut the cord when we come back from the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. I promise to tell everybody why to cut the cord during this segment. This is actually not a plug for like Apple TV or the Google Chromecast. Although we are having a sale on the Chromecast, if you go to f4wlive.com, you can grab a Google Chromecast for $35, f4wlive.com. But no, this is actually just pure outrage over last night when I tried to buy this UFC show. I have Frontier, and I am going to call him out. Calling him out here for this. This is how upset I am. I tried to order this pay-per-view last night, and I successfully ordered the HD version. I ordered it, and I hit the record button. It said it was ordered and recording. And then I left.
It's a big step for you, too, because I know you are not a fan of ordering in HD.
No, I always order in HD. Oh. If I'm going to order the thing, I may as well. In fact, a lot of these pay-per-views,
But you're frustrated always over that $10.
Well, no. On a lot of shows, some of them, the HD and the standard definition version actually cost the same amount on Frontier. I don't even know why. But this UFC was $59 in high def. I had friends coming over, and so it was like, all right, fine. I'll buy the high-def version. So I buy it. I had to go. Whitney and I were meeting with my parents, so we just went in and they had coffee. So I come home to watch the show, and nothing is on the screen. And so I'm like, what's going on here? I ordered the show. It should be fine. So I switch the channel, and I come back, and it says, you have whatever the number is, 183 minutes left to order this show. And I'm like, wait a second. I already ordered this show. What do you mean I have 183 minutes to order the show? I already ordered it. And so I go into the DVR thing, and in fact, it says the show is purchased and is recording, whereas nothing is showing on the screen. So I was like, let's try and order it again. So I attempt to order it again, and the system is aware that I ordered it. So it tells me that I cannot order it again, but it will not show me the pay-per-view. So I'm like, oh my God. So I call customer service. I call Frontier customer service to try to get this pay-per-view airing. By the way, I got friends over now. I look like an idiot. So I call them, and you'll never guess. Frontier customer service closed on Saturday nights. It is a UFC pay-per-view Saturday night, and their customer care department is closed. Please call back Monday, they tell me. So, long story short, it would not allow me to reorder the high-def version. So, I had to order the standard definition version. So, I paid $105 for UFC. I watched it in standard definition. I was absolutely infuriated. So, everybody out there, if you don't have to watch all of these programs live like I do, just cut the cord.
My buddy came over. He also has cable. He said, cable sucks. Doesn't matter what cable company you have. They all suck. You know, it's like, if you knew how much I paid for cable, like the amount of money I pay for my cable, I could staff a person to be there on Saturday nights during a pay-per-view event. But I don't know where my money goes. It doesn't go to customer care. I know that. The office is closed. So anyway, well, I refuse to order UFC pay-per-views ever again through my cable provider. I will go to UFC.tv. I will order them there. I don't know how the cut works there. Hopefully UFC gets the entire cut. But I'm done with this cable company. This is not the first time this stuff has happened. Something stupid happens like at least every 2 or 3 months. Something completely stupid happens. So
they don't have that many problems with it. But
how much stuff can you get on Netflix and on Hulu? Everything you want is on the WWE Network and Hulu. You can get UFC Fight Pass and watch a lot of the prelims and a lot of the shows. I mean, most people don't watch every single UFC anyway. You can get your UFC fix with UFC Fight Pass. You don't need FS1 or Fox or anything like that. You can get the pay-per-views through the UFC.tv. I mean, what do you even need cable for? I have to suffer with it because it's my job, but I'm trying to advise everybody here to make your life easier and just do what Mike is doing and just cut the cord. My buddy Dave just cut the cord, not Dave Meltzer. My buddy Dave Gray just cut the cord. He's happy as can be.
Here's the thing for guys like me, and again, I have Xfinity, and I've had the same problems you've had.
Oh, God, Xfinity sucked, too. I had that for a while.
You know, in the past, I've had the same problems. Not as many as you get with Frontier, not by any means, but, you know, I ended up cutting it, but I still have Xfinity high-speed internet, and I have UFC Fight Pass, so I also have an Apple TV, so I was actually able, and again, you said, you know, if you don't have to watch it live, well, I did want to watch it live, and the Fight Pass fights, obviously, are on the UFC.tv, you know, the app or on Fight Pass. You get a chance to see those. But then on FS1, I just streamed them because Xfinity offers FS1. Some things are blacked out. Some UFCs are blacked out. This happened to be one that was not blacked out. And they showed that, so I was able to watch that whole thing and then watch the pay-per-view through UFC.tv, which is, again, I've never had a problem with them. And
great.
It's one of those things, if you're a hardcore fan and you like to hear chatter, like in the corners, you can choose which corner you want to be in. You can choose camera angles. You can have 4 different camera angles up at once. It's the New Lion system, the same people who do the NHL. They do lots of other things. So the layout is very familiar. It's very easy. And it's, again, if you... It's well worth the money to me to have it. There's some things I would tweak a little bit when it comes to the app or using it on the iPad and some things like that. But overall, it's a far more pleasurable experience than ordering it through cable because you have all those other options. And all you do is hit one button when it comes to at least having Apple TV, and it's up on the big screen anyway.
Oh, yeah. All right, to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Caller hung up while we were trying to locate you.
That's not good. How about you? You're on the air.
Yeah, this is Jim from Virginia.
What's up, Jim?
Hey, you were talking about Paige Van Zandt earlier. She is definitely a looker.
She's a looker.
Yeah,
fighters to fight.
But like I said, go on YouTube. She's got several fights on there. Well, I guess you could make up your opinion whether she can fight or not.
Well, you know, she's got a new team, and it doesn't matter how she used to fight. It just matters how she fights when she has to fight for her first UFC fight.
And as long as she doesn't embarrass herself, because that strawweight division is... people are going to see it. The ones who do watch The Ultimate Fighter will actually see how good that division has been for Invicta. And there's a lot of people there who already have built-in personalities, from the Beck Hyatts to... there's a ton of them that are down there. Namajunas, Tisha Torres, lots of them. They all have personalities. They all, you know, have something to bring to the table. And as long as she doesn't embarrass herself too much, I have a feeling she can ride the wave of that division because they're not going to sell out pay-per-views or anything like that. But you're going to be able to put these women on Fox cards and on undercards of pay-per-views. And they're actually probably going to be one of the more popular things out there.
What now that I noticed on the news the other day, it said CM Punk and AJ Lee were getting married. Does that mean neither one will come back to the WWE?
Well, AJ is supposed to be back after the wedding,
That is the story. I would not hold my breath on seeing Punk again. Certainly no time soon. But unless something comes up, I think you'll probably see AJ in 2 or 3 months.
You're talking about Kevin Steen. Now, I would like to see him in the WWE, but one thing I was just thinking about, his main finisher is a package pile driver. Would they let him use that in the WWE?
No.
That's what I was thinking. Somebody tried to tell me they would. I said, it'll never happen.
No, of course not. I mean, he's a guy you can... I'm sure they'll just give him another finisher. I mean, listen, Sami Zayn's finish used to be a top rope brainbuster.
Wow.
And obviously he's not using that anymore, but he's just as great.
Exactly. Exactly. One last thing. Did you see SmackDown, the tag team Divas match on Friday night?
I'm watching SmackDown after this program. How was it?
Okay. Well, it's interesting. I think they're doing some good
things.
It's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting.
So I presume that means it sucks.
No, it didn't suck. No,
I know you, Jim. If it were good, you'd tell me it was good. You're being political here.
They're doing some good stuff with Eva Marie and Summer Rae.
Good stuff with Eva Marie?
Yeah.
Impossible.
That's impossible. What do you mean they're doing good stuff with Eva Marie? Like keeping her out of the ring?
No, I think she was pretty decent this week.
Is she doing a lot of kickouts? I know they were working on that.
Oh, no. It's got a whole lot to do with Summer Rae, you know, and her revenge on the other divas.
About that. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we'll see.
All right, take it easy.
Thanks so much. You know, on Total Divas, Mike, they're doing a storyline where everybody hates Summer, and Eva Marie is all of the girls are coming around to her. They all used to hate her, but now they think she's really sweet and this and that. It's nonsense.
Swerve coming.
Well, they've done the maximum, or not maximum, the Maxim Hot 100, and I guess that Eva Marie may be the only WWE girl in the Maxim Hot 100.
Mm.
And so I think that's going to have to be a storyline for the next season of Total Divas, because, you know.
Why not?
Yeah, you got to do something. Have you been watching this show on your e-app?
I have not.
Mike, what is wrong with, I mean, come on!
We get done doing the show, and I always intend to do it, and I plan on doing it, and I turn it on, and then there's just always something that leads me astray. I'm sorry. I will try to watch this one tonight.
Come on, this is a big 2-part season finale. They promised drama. There's going to be a wedding. There's going to be. I don't remember.
You think cake will be thrown at the wedding like all old WWE great weddings?
No, this is a babyface wedding, so I don't think we're going to see that. We're going to head to a break, everybody. Back in just a moment, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Back here on Wrestling Observer Live, Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone. Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We're taking your phone calls, 855-478-4478. That is 855, toll-free, 855-478-4478. All of the phone numbers are available up at WrestlingObserver.com as well. And of course, for the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. Daily news updates, all the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, often first, is up at WrestlingObserver.com, as well as radio shows. If you love this program, Wrestling Observer Live, and you only get here once per week, you are missing out daily shows. Usually, 2 shows every single day. I've got another show coming up tonight. Myself and Brian's friend Craig, as he is known. We'll be talking SmackDown, Ring of Honor, Total Divas, and more. As a subscriber, you not only get access to all of the brand new shows, but our full library of shows dating back to 2005 is available. You can check it out for $10.99 a month. You will never run out of audio to listen to as a subscriber at WrestlingObserver.com. And every news story, some of the biggest names in wrestling history have been interviewed. It's all up there. You also get the Wrestling Observer newsletter, Figure Four Weekly, and so much more. So check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. Let us go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
The caller hung up while we were...
Ah, come on, caller!
Well, you know what, Brian?
Man, they interrupted my spiel for that?
In the time it took for that caller, you know, before we get the next one on, can you please tell everyone the story of when you and Craig were wrestling and you were going over the border?
Oh, yeah. Well, we had to, we wrestled in Canada all the time. And so we had to go over the border. And we always, you always get stopped at the border crossing. And they say, you know, like, you know, where are you from? Where are you going? What are you doing? And if you, if they're pleased with your responses, you proceed. And if not, they say, pull over. And then you've got to go over and they search your car and all this other terrible stuff. So we're going over the border one day. It's me and Craig and can't remember who else, but the border guy goes, you guys carrying any weapons? And Craig is driving and he holds up his two fists. And keep in mind, Craig's 320 pounds, so his fists are like the size of ham bones. And he says, I'll do it in the Craig voice. Just these. And the Border Patrol guy goes, pull over! And in we went. So that is the wrong answer, everybody, at Border Patrol when they ask if you're carrying any weapons. You just say no. To the phones!
How they tie you up for?
To the phones. Let's try this again. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Matt from Phoenix.
Now we're talking. What's going on?
Hey, I was just wondering what's going on with Rey Mysterio. I know his contract was coming up, and there were rumors he might jump to AAA because of the new show coming to U.S. cable. So I know that they thought he was going to resign. We haven't seen him on TV, so they worry on what's going on.
Well, I know that AAA would love to have Rey Mysterio, but you've got to realize that WWE, I don't think, would like Rey Mysterio to go to AAA. And so, as far as I know right now, they are in contract negotiations. Most people expect that Rey is going to resign. I have not heard otherwise. I would expect that he should be back. I think he's all right. I know he's had some knee problems, but he's been on television here and there. He's, as far as I know, he's not out with injury right now. I would expect him to be re-signed probably by the end of the summer.
Cool.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the call. Mike, what do you think of young Kalisto?
Kalisto?
Yeah, in NXT, the former Samurai del Sol.
Pretty cool. I've only seen that one match so far. So
you have to have seen the match. It was on the same match that your girl Alexa Bliss debuted.
Well, that's the one I saw. And I guess who's the what's the locale, the other one?
No, locale, yeah.
Yes, the amazing locale.
Who makes
cool.
No bones about the fact that he's Ricardo Rodriguez.
Yes.
He doesn't even pretend.
That's the it's the one thing that NXT, I know that Adrian Neville, he's got such an uphill battle if he were to ever go to WWE. And I'm not saying that he would stay in NXT forever, but when you look at like him and Tyson Kidd and Samurai Del Sol, and these guys that they have right now, I mean, it is fun to watch. And it was the same way when they, before, obviously, the Leo Kruger gimmick wasn't the best, but when the Wyatts were there and the Shield was down there and all those guys were down there. I mean, NXT is really a fun show to watch. It's not exactly a must-see, although I think their special editions are, and I'm very curious as if on Monday we're going to see something that leads into this upcoming NXT take place on Raw to try to drum up some interest in that and drum up some interest in watching it on the network, because the original, which took place in what, March or February, I can't remember when it was when the network first started, that was absolutely awesome. So, hopefully they do something like that again. But Del Sol is a guy that can actually be what I think you had talked about this week, probably multiple times, what Sin Cara was supposed to be, which is a guy, speaks English, who can fly around, that wears a mask, very colorful, and can sell merchandise, and isn't going to be the world heavyweight champion or anything like that, but could have a job for a long, long time being in that sort of role. So, good for him. He had been down there. I kind of forgot he was down there. He had been down there for so long. And wasn't an avid watcher of NXT, just a couple times on Hulu before the network came along. So if he was on there before that, I guess I had missed it, but I'd kind of forgotten about him even being there. But good for him that he's got a vehicle right now to keep him going. And the tag team division is what it is. Obviously, the Ascension are coming up to the WWE roster, If this is a halfway decent enough tag team with Ricardo Rodriguez, which it probably will be, or even throw in Tyson Kidd in there still as a luchador if you wanted him to do the same thing and bring them up as a trios unit or something like that, at least he's got a vehicle to further his WWE career now that looks pretty solid.
Got a question here. Why can't Ricardo Rodriguez just be Ricardo Rodriguez? Why does he have to be El Local? I mean, they don't even pretend that he's not Ricardo. He cuts promos, which is ironic because, as I've mentioned, Kalisto speaks perfect English. So all they've wanted is a luchador that can speak English. So they finally get one, and all he does is chant lucha.
Well, Ricardo's the veteran. He's got to lead the team so far.
But my question is, like, why can't Ricardo just be Ricardo Rodriguez, great wrestler? Why does he have to wear a mask and they don't even pretend he's not the guy? You know what I mean?
He's got the stink of Del Rio.
Why doesn't he say lucha and the other guy does the promos?
Because he's Ricardo Rodriguez. People would just say, you know, be waiting for the ring introduction.
All right, let's go to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
What's up, guys? It's Eric in Chicago.
Eric, what's going on?
Hey, I wanted to ask, what's next for Big E Langston? Where do they go from here? Any ideas? I heard they wanted to feed him to John Cena. Good or bad idea?
Well, that was actually from me. John Cena wants to work with Big E, but the idea was it would be post-SummerSlam. But yeah, you're probably going to see John Cena likes Big E, so I think they're probably going to have some sort of a feud after SummerSlam, after this Bray Wyatt preposterousness wraps up.
Now, how about tagging him with John Cena? Do you think that'd be a better idea first? That maybe have him.
I don't think they want their top babyface star just being in a tag team.
Well, I don't think it could hurt too much. Maybe it's for like a month or two, and then break them up, and then go into a feud.
You could have them loosely affiliated. Absolutely do that.
They could do some tag matches here and there, but I don't think that they want John Cena to become a tag team wrestler. Although, actually, on house shows, it would be better for John Cena to not have to go out there and do singles matches.
More of a benefit for Big E as well.
Sure, yeah.
It's working for Tanahashi and Makabe.
And also, Sandow's been kind of a funk lately. What do you think about bringing Aiden English up to the main roster and probably tagging with Sandow?
Oh, my God. What a geek tag team that would be. I don't know.
They're a good fit for each other.
I mean, they kind of are, but I don't think that would do Aiden English any favors. I don't know what you do with... I haven't seen SmackDown this week, so I don't know what Sandow's latest goofiness is, but I know that whatever he was doing where he was cutting a shoot promo about being held down, I thought it sucked. Even JBL thought it sucked. JBL on commentary is like, well, win!
Yeah. Well, one last thing here. What do you think of putting Paige on the next season of Total Divas?
Well, they've already got Rosa Mendez on the next season of Total Divas.
Oh, that's horrible.
Well, at least she dyed her hair back. That's a positive. She got rid of that goofy blonde hair. And I'm a fan of blondes, but this was just not working for her. But yeah, it'll
be... All right, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I don't know if they want... I don't know if Paige's character fits into Total Divas, you know what I mean?
No.
I mean, her whole gimmick is she's the anti-diva. So it would not make sense for her to be on Total Divas.
Unless Natty's not going to be in that role anymore and you have to have somebody who's going to be the, you know, their quote-unquote ugly duckling outcast, whatever you want to call
it. Well, it's sure
ain't
going to be Paige.
I don't know. Any
television show that tries to convince me that Paige is an ugly duckling, I mean, it's goofy enough to do with Natalia, but it's even goofier to try with Paige. Yes, she's pale.
The pasty duckling. I don't know.
I'd like to see him try that.
Look how they treated her so far. I mean, if you think about it, I know they needed, like, Alicia Fox has made ground. She has. I'm not going to say that she hasn't from the time that she started. And they obviously want to do something with her and have some sort of something going on with her. But her kicking the crap out of Paige, it just how this whole title reign has started for Paige, she's a great example of if you didn't have more plans for her, why did you bring her up from NXT? I know she did everything she could do there, but she should not have been brought up if this is what it was going to be. Should have just put the belt on Naomi like you were going to.
Well, I think that I think one of their problems is that it seems from watching them bring people up that they assume that all of their audience is watching NXT.
And we already know how many people are subscribed to the network. It's probably about 700,000 right now. I don't know what the number is since they won't announce it. But let's just say it's 700,000. So you have 700,000 people subscribed to the network. And let's just say that 50% of them are watching NXT, which I think is probably a high number. Let's just say 50%. So you're looking at less than 400,000 people that are watching NXT on the network. And meanwhile, Raw is seen by, on average, 4 million viewers or so. Which means that if we're just talking the average, that means at the peak, there are 3 or 4 million extra people that are watching the show at some point during Monday night. So that means that the percentage of people that watch Raw at any given moment on Monday, that would mean like maybe 5% of those people are watching NXT. Yet they call up like Paige. They expect everyone to know who Paige is. They call up Adam Rose. They can't figure out why nobody's singing his song. And it's like, I'm no good at math. And even I can figure out that the percentage of people that are probably watching NXT and also watching Raw is a very small number. So I think they got to, I mean, they did vignettes for Adam Rose. I think they may have helped a little bit, but they didn't do anything for Paige. All of a sudden she was just there and everyone was like, I got it's Paige from NXT. It's like, how does anyone supposed to know who Paige is?
I completely agree. 1,500 fans is a lot different than 15,000 fans. And again, they do damage by bringing people up too early.
Statistically correct, Mike. That's statement you just made. We're going to head to a break. We'll come back in just a moment. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. All right. Back on the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208. And streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Final segment of the show here today. And Mike, next Sunday is this WWE Payback pay-per-view. And we've got four matches announced. We've got Evolution against The Shield. We've got John Cena against Bray Wyatt in a last man standing match. And by the way, Evolution versus The Shield is a elimination match as well. No holds barred elimination match. We have Bad News Barrett against Rob Van Dam for the Intercontinental title. And we have Sheamus against Cesaro for the U.S. title. What do you think of this show, Mike? Is this lighting your fire?
Not really, no. But, you know, you can have plenty of things at play when it comes to Evolution and The Shield. And, you know, they haven't had a bad one yet. So you got to guess that no matter what they do at the end of that thing, it's going to be probably pretty exciting throughout. Hopefully this is the end of Cena and Bray Wyatt, so any fan that's out there who hates seeing these two face off against each other can at least have that in the back of their head and pray for that until it's over. Bad News Barrett seems to have some momentum behind him, and Rob Van Dam has got his fan base built in, so no real complaints there out of that. And then Sheamus and Cesaro, two dudes just slamming into each other at top speed. I got no problem at all with that. That should actually be really good. So it's not too bad on paper right now, at least.
All right, everybody. We're going to wrap it up. Thanks for listening. We will be back later on tonight, only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. Brian Craig Show will be talking Ring of Honor, Total Divas, as well as SmackDown from Friday night. Should be a fun time. You can always check us out at F4WLive.com. Thanks, everybody at Sports Byline. Darren, Scott, the whole crew. Really appreciate it. Mike, of course, as always. We'll talk to you again next week, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.